On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from sunny Seattle here on KKNW AM 1150. If you're not listening in the Seattle area, you might be listening in New York, Connecticut, or Rhode Island on WBLQ AM 1230, on one of the 35 stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But I tell you, wherever you're joining us from today, we're so grateful you're here, and you're going to be grateful you're joining us too, because I've got a fabulous guest. But before I get into that, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hi, Benny.
Hi, Christine. How's it going?
It's going well.
Great.
It's Friday.
I know. Actually, the week hasn't gotten closer to the Friday as in right now, and I'm very excited just because we have a lot going on, and Oktoberfest is for me in Leavenworth tomorrow. So,
ooh, that sounds like fun.
I had to go shopping. I've got my lederhosen.
Oh, really?
I will have photos, so look forward to those. Yeah. And I'm actually looking forward just to take a little me time.
Right.
A little me time.
And this weekend, I'm teaching a workshop on Sunday at East West Bookshop, and I'm
really excited
about that. Mm-hmm. I love teaching. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people often will view their work life as something sort of like, you know, heavy and burdensome, but I love to teach. And if you haven't heard about it, I'm teaching The Vibration of Change, mm-hmm. which is something I've taught several times before. I'm working on a book of that title as well. And, you know, sometimes when we hear about all these different approaches, whether they be spiritual approaches, manifestation approaches, we think these are all fabulous things, but how do we navigate which we choose? Basically, it's kind of like sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. And what The Vibration of Change does is it allows us to sort of get up at that forest level, take a look. It goes beyond the behavioral approaches to change, beyond the manifestation techniques, beyond the healing techniques. And it looks at one model which synthesizes all positive lasting change and what the energetics of that is and what the ramifications there are in our lives. And also, I've got 5 different personality profiles that help you determine how you personally navigate change so that you can tap into your strengths and get greater ease and flow in creating positive change in your life. So that's Sunday at 12:30 at East West Bookshop.
Excellent. And we also have an ad rotating throughout our breaks if you need more information about
this. Yes, indeed. Yeah, you can go to my website, christineupchurch.com. There's stuff on the homepage mm-hmm. about that. And I'd love to see you here if you're in the Seattle area. If you're not in the Seattle area, you know, I understand you're not going to fly in from Australia, but love to see you there too.
Maybe
someday.
They're already in mid-flight right now. That's true. You never know.
You know, we're going to be talking today about what it means to live your best life. And we have a phenomenon on today. He's been on Oprah. And in fact, Oprah has put him on the Super Soul 100 inaugural list. So he's a big deal. His name is Mastin Kipp, and he's a best-selling author. He's an entrepreneur. I love this, a life interventionist. And, you know, he's got the dailylove.com, which is a website that gives people sort of daily emails. And he also has this fabulous YouTube channel, I tell you. I'm just hooked. I started watching the videos, and it's kind of like I got really annoyed when YouTube started sending me off to other people saying, no, I need to get back to Mastin Kipp. You know, and one of the things I love about him, and this is going to sound weird, Benny, but one of the things I really love about this man is he's not middle-aged or older. He's young. And so, you know, we've got people who are in their teens and 20s and 30s who aren't necessarily really attracted to some of those, you know, who are a little older. Well, they might be attracted to some of the teachings, but they really can resonate with somebody young who is applying these spiritual principles in his own life and teaching people in a really articulate way how to apply them in their own. So I would like to welcome Mastin Kipp. Hey, Mastin, welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show.
Christine, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be here today.
You know, Mastin, I'm just so pleased that you're doing what you're doing because You know, I think I'd mentioned before we got on the air, I've got a 22-year-old. I've also got a 16-year-old, both boys. And it's been interesting to watch what's going on in with the 20-somethings and even the teenagers. It seems to me that there is a type of disillusionment with the world, disillusionment with politics, disillusionment in our country with sort of the American dream. Now, and here you are, you know, fairly young, and yet you've sort of tapped into something to help people step out of that disillusionment. Can you tell us a little bit about your past and how your path shifted to sort of be playing this role you're playing today?
Wow. Yes, I can. I think my mother hypnotized me, Christine.
We mothers do that.
she would repeat again and again and again and again and again that, you know, you can do anything you put your mind to.
Uh-huh.
And so I sort of just believed her. Now, what she didn't say was, it's going to be really hard. You're going to go through a lot of pain. You're going to have to learn how to turn that pain into fuel.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have experiential lessons that are going to make you want to quit and end your life, and you're going to be addicted to drugs and all kinds of stuff, but you're going to get through it.
Uh-huh.
And you know, she didn't say any of that stuff. She just said, if you can put your mind to it, you can make it happen. So I believed her.
Right.
And that has sort of been this, like, core belief that I've always had. And whatever I do, I put my whole self into it. So when I was addicted to drugs, like, I was really addicted. Like, I was, like, the most addicted, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I have a soft place in my heart for people who are addicts or codependents, because when they get their stuff together, they make a big mark, because they take all that energy that was focused on the thing that they were consuming or the person that they were fixing, and they focus it on something larger than themselves, and big things happen. So those are my peeps.
Uh-huh.
But
How did you get out of that addiction?
Well, I mean, I was in Los Angeles as a music manager, and I went there young, like really young. I always wanted to be in the music business. So I got to LA when I was 19, got into the music business very, very early in life. And the company that I worked for no longer exists. It's called The Firm.
That's scary.
We worked with, it was kind of like the movie, you know, in a different way.
Uh-huh.
And they were one of the largest companies in the entertainment business at the time. You can go Google them and see.
Oh, wow.
And so I got to see all of the how things happen at a really big level. And, you know, I started in a relationship, and that relationship kind of, you know, was about codependency. And then I discovered cocaine through that relationship. And then I felt really good doing that drug, really, like, better than I've ever felt in my life, until I felt worse than I ever felt in my entire life. And I know that we're on a little bit of a, you know, a spiritual show here, so I can go a little woo-woo.
Oh, absolutely.
I had a moment when I was deep in the addiction and going through the breakup, and I lost my job, my dream job, where I had gone this, like, 2-week just binger, just drinking and doing drugs, and there was this one time where I felt like I was just, you know, I was going for it, and this presence or this force would not let me continue, and there was a deep knowing that if I kept going that night, that I did more cocaine, that I would die.
Wow.
And so something in me just threw it all away, and I made it a commitment to feel as good off the drugs as I did on the drugs. And, you know, I think I went back to that drug once. It was just sort of like one of those
amazing moments.
Now, alcohol was different. That took a little bit longer, and I'm still not, like, sober from alcohol. I still drink every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
But cocaine was my issue. And then, you know, sugar has been a ongoing battle.
Yes. Oh, I know all about that. I gave sugar up about 7 weeks ago, and it's a tough one to give up.
It's not like you're walking down the airport and they're making, you know, Cinnabon cocaine buns. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's a big, big difference between a drug and sugar, because sugar's everywhere, you know?
Right.
It's like a best friend sometimes. So,
yeah, you don't have to go buy it on the black market, do you?
To some, it's practically feels like that, though, is on how many you're taking for the cinnamon buns.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. You know, so it's been a long journey, Christine, and I think the most important thing that got me sober over time was a dedication to being of service to something larger than myself.
Wow.
Because when I was in my addiction, I was really focused on me.
Right.
And I have a traumatic brain injury. Now that I work with the Amen Clinics, and I've had my brain diagnosed with a SPECT scan, where they actually look at it, not just based on symptom clusters.
Uh-huh.
Like, because of my TBI, you know, my brain doesn't produce some of the neurotransmitters as well as it should. So I also have a chemical imbalance. So I have a lot of these like sort of classic mental health issues that people talk about. And I think I've just really decided that purpose and being of service is more important than being a victim to my past and using right. that as fuel mm-hmm. and not going to my medication or to my supplements or to my food as a reason to be happy, but uh-huh. being happy because I'm being of service and using supplements, medication, and food to fuel that mission. That has really been a big game changer for me as it relates to how I relate to food, how I relate to medication, how I relate to supplementation, mm-hmm. and the purpose to which I use it. Because I used to think if I take something, whether it's cocaine or a Cinnabon, if I ever find myself in a Cinnabon line in the airport, I know I need to like call my life coach, you know. but you know, like that used to be what I go to fill me up, and now right, filling me right. up is stuff like this, being of service, changing lives, and uh-huh. and helping people, because it's really, you know, it fuels me in a different way. So right. if I had to like summarize it, you know, sobriety for me has been a real mission in purpose, mm-hmm. most importantly.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that when we're on our spiritual path, it is wonderful to be of service. But don't you think that there can be an addictive sort of quality to that as well? I mean, how do you balance out sort of being whole and not kind of getting the external validation in order to move
sure.
forward,
that's a good
but
question.
To also
yeah.
be of service?
Totally. Yeah, so I think it really you have to define what being of service means. So mm-hmm. being of service does not mean being one way online and another way offline.
Right.
It doesn't mean getting your validity from how many Facebook likes you have or Instagram likes or Snapchat plays you have. Uh-huh. Being of service doesn't mean comparing yourself to peers who may or may not be a bestseller.
Right.
Not that I've done any of this in the past, by the way. you know, and it certainly doesn't mean thinking that you're the cause of your success. You
yeah.
know, I wrote a
yes.
book early in my career called Power Versus Force by David Hawkins,
uh-huh.
and he was a trippy guy, and he was a kinesiologist, and he measured levels of consciousness based on kinesiology,
right.
and one of the things that he said is that spiritual teachers at the beginning of their careers had very high levels of consciousness typically, and usually as they became more successful, their consciousness levels would drop,
yes.
because they started to believe that they were the doer and the generator of their success,
right.
instead of reminding that you know, everything is a gift from God or a higher power. It's a
uh-huh.
blessing.
Uh-huh. It flows through us as opposed to coming from us. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think to me, being of service is remembering that I'm a vessel,
uh-huh.
staying in my lane, taking really good care of myself so that I can really show up, doing my best to be in integrity with what I preach,
mm-hmm.
And detaching from the outcome. And for me, I have a big projection, meaning like I want to work with a lot of people. I really
uh-huh.
feel called
sure.
to do that. That's not everybody, mm-hmm. but I feel called for that. So to me,
right.
that's what being of service means. You know, that's not being a martyr or a codependent teacher, which
mm-hmm.
runs rampant in this space.
It
because,
does.
You know, we get better and we transfer our addiction from our spouse who abused us to our clients who are sort of abusing us in a different way or something
uh-huh.
like that. You know,
right,
that happens
right.
a lot.
Yes, it
so,
does.
So I think that what's cool about what we do is that our profession is also our therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real cool thing, I think, in our education.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
you know, we all come here to teach what we need to learn. So
right.
if someone's a health coach, chances are they have health issues. If someone's a relationships coach, chances are they've had a lot of pain in that. If someone's a purpose mm-hmm. coach like me, chances are they didn't know why they were born. So
mm-hmm.
That's what being of service, I guess, means to me. And, you know, have I had codependent relationships with clients? Yes. Have I had the desire to be the most significant person online? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But like in some way, like life always checks me when I get my intentions out of whack.
Right. Right. Love that.
And so, you know, I've been blessed to surround myself with people who remind me very quickly. if my ego gets too big.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a great conversation. We have to go to a quick break, but stay tuned for more with Mastin Kipp. Are you looking for positive, lasting change, greater well-being, better relationships, and improved life circumstances? The Vibration of Change is here to help you navigate change in a new way. As someone who has been on my own transformational journey and who has helped facilitate change for thousands, I've discovered something which goes beyond manifestation techniques, beyond behavioral changes, and beyond systems of healing. There are universal principles governing all change, which determine whether we remain stuck or whether we manifest our dreams. Understanding these principles, as well as your own personal tendencies, can be life-changing. Join me, Christine Upchurch, at East West Bookshop in Seattle on October 2nd for an experiential workshop. Step into your vibration of change and empower yourself in a new way. For more information or to register, go to ChristineUpchurch.com. That's ChristineUpchurch.com or visit EastWestBookshop.com.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism. Passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, I'm talking to Mastin Kipp today, and Oprah Winfrey loves him. The YouTube market loves him. The internet, he's going, you know, just so wild and spreading wildfire across the internet with his YouTube videos. And he's got a couple of best-selling books, and he's got another book coming out next year. Mastin Kipp. You know, Mastin, I'm fascinated by your journey. And one of your videos, you talk about something I'd love to hear you talk about here on the show, about the one week when things went wrong and you kind of began asking a different kind of question. Would you share with our listeners about that?
Sure. I mean, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, I have a question for you. This is a great question, Christine. Have you ever had a moment in your life, maybe you're going through it right now, where it seems like God, the universe, life, whatever is against you? Like, no matter what you do, things are not going your way. You're getting no's, you're getting doors closed, things are crumbling. I was going through a process like that in my life, and I've come to call it a divine storm, which is my way of looking at something as a reorganization process. So when everything is not going right, I want you to consider that the life that you're wanting, this is what it feels like for it to emerge in your life, because it looks nothing like your current paradigm. Now, I didn't know that at the time. Right. I just thought, what have I done wrong? And what's even more ironic is I was praying for abundance, and that was the I was like, I stopped praying because it didn't stop working, you know. it really was abundance working my way into my life. You know, I had a relationship crumble, romantic relationship. My roommate gave me 30-day notice of moving out. A business that I'd had for 3 years that put my life and blood into, that had become successful, had crumbled. Mm. My lower back went out. I got gout in my left toe at like 27, which is something that like 70, 80-year-old guys who drink you know, beer and eat red meat, get after a while, my lower back. And so I had like no home. I was in so much pain. I couldn't move out of the home. The business was gone. The relationship was gone. And I thought to myself, I am neither dumb enough nor smart enough to do this to myself. Mm-hmm. You know, like, why is this happening to me?
Right.
And that was the question I asked. And I think a lot of people, when they're in crisis, find themselves asking that question, you know, whether it's, you know, in your situation, maybe there's a cancer, there's a healing crisis, or there's a business crisis or relationship crisis.
Absolutely.
Asking the question, why this happened to me, unfortunately, will produce really bad answers. Mm-hmm. I would use more direct language if it weren't on the radio. It's like, if you want bad answers, if you want answers that will keep you stuck, ask the question, why did this happen to me? Because your brain will produce answers like, because you're not enough, because you don't deserve this, because you're an idiot, because this is what always happens to people like you,
right?
Whatever it might be.
Yep.
So, you know, when I was going through this, I had a mentor pop into my head. I don't know if you ever had that happen when you're, you know, reading somebody or you watch someone on YouTube, like you've been talking about, and every once in a while, like, you hear their voice in your head.
Right.
And
oh, yeah.
As I was asking this question, why did this happen to me? A woman named Carolyn Mace, M-Y-S-S.
Right. Oh, yeah. We know Carolyn Mace.
Head. Yes. And she popped into my head and she basically said, like, honey, like, this is happening for you, not to you.
Uh-huh.
Ask a different question. Uh-huh. Ask, what's the spiritual lesson in this? And don't be a brat about it. Don't say, well, the spiritual lesson is that you're a jerk. You know what I mean? Like, really get into inquiry about what is the deeper lesson here.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to believe, and actually I should say know, that when there's a crisis, and I don't care what crisis it is, a healing crisis, a relationship crisis, you name it, you can choose to see it as a teacher.
Yes.
I'm not saying that you chose it, you know, you know, cancer, for example, like 70-80% of cancer, it's not because you have negative thoughts and you chose to go through cancer. It's because there's environmental toxins, right? So, if you have it, don't fight it. Like, become incurious around it and learn to see it as a teacher. And I know that you know what I'm talking about.
Exactly. And it's funny because I had heard a message in my early 20s from this disembodied voice saying, you're a healer. And I chose to ignore it. And then, you know, I ended up getting cancer and had to heal myself. And so it was the sort of thing where at the time I felt very victimized. I felt a sense of futility. And yet from, you know, looking back at the experience, I know that it was a part of my journey stepping into healing.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's something that's very personal for you. You know, and so I think it's a personal journey. Everyone's is very different. You know, Chris Carr, God bless her, you know, she's seen cancer as a part of her healing journey, but she still has it, you know.
Uh-huh,
so why?
Right.
She can fight it. You know, she's on my podcast today talking about being in non-resistance to it and working with something. So when you come into crisis, the first thing that our sort of society trains you to do is to blame somebody else.
Right.
And while other people may have done something to you that's horrible and there's trauma that needs to be healed and recognized, ultimately, what's going to determine how far you go is how you respond to that situation. This was made very evident by Viktor Frankl in Man's Search for Meaning and his observations in Auschwitz. So if how you respond matters, then no matter what's happened to you, you have a choice to respond in a way that's empowering. And when I work with people who have been traumatized, you know, they have this grin on their face when they realize that them being empowered like, is how they get back at whoever hurt them. And if they're playing a smaller life or living smaller, that the person that hurt them still has power over them. So that's the power of forgiveness. That's the power of stepping outside your comfort zone, and not being traumatized anymore.
Right.
So for me, instead of blaming my business partner, my, you know, roommate, the girl, life, whatever it might be, the meditation that I was doing for abundance, I said, what is the spiritual lesson? And I got into really serious inquiry around that. And I didn't get some big cosmic answer that gave me every step of the way for the rest of my life.
Right.
You know, I got like the next step.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think that's how intuition works, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's a really important point that you got the next step, because I think sometimes when we are reaching out for the sort of the spiritual answers as we, you know, are working towards our, you know, getting onto our path, our psycho-spiritual path of ease, joy, abundance, and expansion, we think that we should see the whole roadmap. And yet you're saying just, you know, you just took the first step.
Yeah, I think the idea that you have to have the whole roadmap is like your brain looking for survival certainty. And I don't think that if you had the whole map that you'd enjoy life. I think not knowing is part of, like, it's an intended mystery, like by design. And, you know, I think Oprah was interviewed recently, speaking of Oprah, about, you know, how did she come back from, you know, the impending fall of the OWN network when it first started.
Uh-huh.
Now it's like on fire. They're doing Queen Sugar and Yonla. I mean, they're doing great stuff over there now.
They are, yes.
All the Tyler Perry stuff. I mean, they've totally come back and they're better than ever. But, you know, when she was still doing Oprah Winfrey Network and the OWN thing wasn't really working out and there's a lot of money at stake with Discovery, she shared this publicly, so this is nothing that, you know, I'm sharing out of confidence. But she got together with Eric Logan and Sherry Salata, who was her executive team, and they just asked one question. What's the next step?
Mm-hmm.
She didn't ask, what are we doing a year from now? It's like, what's the next thing? And that question is how she turned around the network. And she's famous for, you know, giving interviews about this question.
Uh-huh.
And my thought is, if it's good enough for Oprah, it's good enough for us, you
right,
know?
Right.
And it also helps you move forward, because if you're so busy trying to think about the whole plan,
mm-hmm.
that's a really good, what I call survival pattern, that distracts you from forward momentum, because it's like those perfectionists, right? Like
right.
Perfectionism is a very low standard because it doesn't exist. And perfectionism is a really
say that again. I really like that message. You got to say that again.
Yes, yeah, so perfectionism is a low standard because it doesn't exist.
Uh-huh.
So perfectionism is a fancy way of saying I'm scared, essentially.
Uh-huh.
It's like,
right.
you know, look how scared I am. I got to get it perfect.
So
there's a lot of reasons why people have those issues. And I have a lot of compassion for that, me too.
Mm-hmm.
But just taking that next step in your life can be a very powerful intention. And not knowing what's going to happen is kind of what makes it exciting.
Right. Yeah, and terrifying. And I know we need to talk a lot about fear and courage, but we have to go to another quick break. More with Mastin Kipp here in just a few moments.
Have you ever wanted to learn about the colors of your chakras? Well, now's your chance. Lynn Brown, host of Get Into It, is hosting an event Friday, November 4th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. in Mount Vernon. Every person will get a reading on the most prominent color in their aura. Join Lynn Brown November 4th at the Riverwalk Studio in Mount Vernon. To register for this event, call 360-588-4713. That's 360-588-4713.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you looking for positive, lasting change, greater well-being, better relationships, and improved life circumstances? The Vibration of Change is here to help you navigate change in a new way. As someone who has been on my own transformational journey and who has helped facilitate change for thousands, I've discovered something which goes beyond manifestation techniques, beyond behavioral changes, and beyond systems of healing. There are universal principles governing all change, which determine whether we remain stuck or whether we manifest our dreams. Understanding these principles, as well as your own personal tendencies, can be life-changing. Join me, Christine Upchurch, at East West Bookshop in Seattle on October 2nd for an experiential workshop. Step into your vibration of change and empower yourself in a new way. For more information or to register, go to christineupchurch.com. That's ChristineUpchurch.com or visit eastwestbookshop.com.
Calling all Intuits healers and readers, you are invited to the Women of Wisdom Fall Festival. Join us as we celebrate the bounty of our Mother Earth on October 1st at North Seattle Community College. We're looking for a variety of practitioners and experts in the art of energy healings, intuitive readings, and bodywork. If you are a reader, healer, or an artisan selling handmade arts and crafts, we invite you to share your gifts with the Women of Wisdom community. Go to womenofwisdom.org to apply.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here in KKNW, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, I'm talking to Mastin Kipp today, and Mastin, I know the way the conversation goes, I want to make sure to be able to fit this in. Please share with our listeners how they can connect with you and talk about some of your upcoming events before we get into conversation and totally forget to do that.
That is very kind of you. The best place to go is mastinkipp.com. That's M-A-S-T-I-N, kipp, K-I-P-P.com. And, you know, I have an email that goes out. We have podcasts on iTunes. We have, you know, the YouTube videos, Facebook videos. And right now I have a Fort Lauderdale event coming up October 16th. It's the last Hay House I Can Do It event ever. October 16th down in Fort Lauderdale. The last one ever. Yeah, they're completely rebranding and changing the brand around.
So, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I know when I heard that, too, I was like, what? Like, that was a staple in my career, in my life, you
right,
know?
Right.
And then we have a December retreat in Bali called Enter the Heart. It's all about purpose. So if you want to come to Bali for 11 days with me, all that's at mastinkipp.com. So, and I'm kind of chilling on the events until next year when my book comes out and we'll ramp back up. But those are kind of the two things I got going on right now. So
yeah.
Thank you for letting me do that shameless plug.
Oh, no, it's wonderful. And I know that people really do connect with you. And I know that they get a lot out of the retreats with you and with your presentations. And you were talking on the break how you do warn people that use colorful language sometimes, which is one of the things that I find very endearing about you. You're really just... a normal guy who has tapped into some real wisdom that you're sharing in a very accessible way. And I appreciate that about you, Mastin.
Thanks, Christina. I appreciate that too. Yeah, I think, you know, direct language, especially when you're trying to talk about trauma and healing, is very important, because if a word owns you, then there's work to be done. No word should own you. No word.
That.
And there's some bad words out there. But if a word takes away your power, then you got to do some work there. And also, you know, Freud found this out, and I learned this from Tony Robbins, is that when you use direct language, especially in a therapeutic context, it kind of breaks the hypnosis and gets you more real and more honest, and you can actually do the work faster. So there's intentionality behind it. It's not just vulgar.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And if it's not about, you know, how you present yourself, you're really getting to the core and the crux of who you are and how you feel, which...
Totally.
Yeah, instead
Which
of
is
surface.
Everything.
Yeah.
That's everything.
Yeah. So you talk a little bit about trauma. You've talked about it a little bit. Can you share with our listeners a little bit more about the role that trauma plays in our current daily lives? You know, trauma from, you know, years past.
Sure. So, yeah, it's a great question. So trauma, by the way, can be sexual, like extreme sexual trauma, or it could be like your dad was 10 minutes late leaving, you know, picking you up from school, and you decided that you don't belong or he doesn't love you or whatever. So,
right.
You know, trauma doesn't have to be this big, heavy thing, but it certainly is. You know, when a veteran goes to war and they're in combat, that's traumatic.
Yes.
When a child may not be physically abused, but their parents are co-addicted and there's emotional neglect, that's trauma. You know, so and it could be very small stuff or very big stuff.
Right.
And what happens with trauma is a need is not being met, and we create a belief about ourselves that's untrue. It's based in fear and lack. But it feels true because we have evidence. And then we tend to act out that belief over time. And the reason why, you know, you attract the same guy in different shoes, or, you know, you seem to have the same sort of negative experiences, is because we sort of hurt ourselves until we heal ourselves, is what I've come to believe.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
If you are intentional, yeah, for sure, you know. And if you're intentional about your healing, and you're ready to step out of victimization, so you can be a victim to something, meaning that, you can be victimized by somebody. Someone can do something awful to you, but as we were talking about earlier, how you choose to respond can take you out of victimization so that you have the power. So Malala was victimized by the Taliban, but she is not a victim. You know, Oprah Winfrey was sexually victimized, but she's not a victim.
Yes.
So there's a difference between being victimized and being a victim. And a lot of people, when they're first, you know, hurt or victimized, there's a lot of acute, you know, victimization that has to be worked through and grief. So I'm not saying don't feel your feelings and just change your story. Like, you really got to do the work and kind of go to the shadow and work on the emotions and the beliefs that are there.
Absolutely, or else you cannot transcend that. And I think that there are people on their spiritual paths who sometimes think they can.
Yeah, they think they can because they're scared to go there. I mean, it's that simple. So you got to do that work. But after you've done that work, you know, there's an opportunity. I work with a lot of victims of sexual abuse. And if I could go back and undo all their hurt, I would. Nothing really gets me more fired up and angry than that. If there's anything that would probably bring me to violence, it would be, you know, witnessing something like that.
Right.
But what I've seen happen, and I would call this a miracle, is that after their, you know, the initial sort of acute trauma has been dealt with and felt, and not, I won't say healed because I think you live with it, but, you know, it's been lessened. When they realize that they can take this experience and be of service to others using their empathy for what they've been through to help other people who don't have those tools, it brings a real profound meaning to their life and to why something like that it happened. Meaning, you know, did it happen to me because I deserved it? Or did it happen to me because this person's a psychopath? Did it happen to me so that I could be, you know, wounded the rest of my life?
Yeah.
Or for whatever reason, could I maybe now be of service here? And when we can take our trauma, find power, and then be of service, there's a deeper meaning. And that's why I really believe that your wounds can lead you to your purpose. So if there's
I
a
agree.
Pain that you're going through, you know, it's a choice to be victimized by it. I have chemical imbalance. I have a traumatic brain injury. I am not victimized by my circumstances. You know, I've made a very concise choice to choose to respond and surround myself with mentors and information and taking action and, you know, learning and having the experience of it. And I think that the people who, the clients who I've seen that really heal have that same attitude to their trauma. So it's
you know,
not
Mastin,
like a Pollyanna thing.
Right.
You know?
And there's something else that I've discovered based on my own personal experience and working with clients is that when we experience these childhood traumas, some of them are more horrific than others, but when we've been deeply affected by them, what happens to us as children is, on some level, we separate from those who were doing this to us. Oftentimes it's family. Sometimes it's like within the context of maybe a school system or whatever. But when they've been traumatized, when we've been traumatized, what we do is we kind of separate out. And even though we're a part of this tribe, so to speak, we detach from the tribe. And one of the things that Carolyn Mace talks about is how if we're going to have any kind of spiritual evolution within a tribe, you have to have people step out of the tribe, evolve, and then step back in. So, I think that a lot of people who've been victims who have healed actually have the opportunity to play a more important role within the tribe, within the consciousness movement, so that we can help shift the world.
Yeah, yes. Joseph Campbell talks about the hero's journey, and the whole purpose is to have an awakening that you bring back to the homeland, you know, to the tribe.
Yes,
so, like, that certainly is true. As long as you don't think that you can go heal other people who are hurting, because that's going to be some serious codependent thinking. And I used to think that. I used to have that Superman complex, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree, you know, and when you make your life better, you know, all of a sudden, like, you know, when you learn the lesson, like, people around you notice that. And that, I think, teaching and influencing by your demonstration is far more powerful than by just kind of, you know, saying something. But mm-hmm. trauma is something that is interesting because, you know, I can't tell you how many people I've met because they've been through a trauma, you know, will argue to stay trapped in it.
Yes.
And
right,
the
right,
reason
yeah.
why is there's a survival mechanism in the brain that says, well, if I stay trapped here, I won't experience any more pain. So they create like a survival pattern that says I have to stay traumatized because at least it won't get worse.
Yes.
And I think this is where courage comes into play, because it can be really scary to decide to want to feel good, because that's a vulnerable thing. You know, Gay Hendricks covers this well in his book,
right.
The Big Leap.
Right.
And a lot of the researcher Brene Brown's work has also covered this a lot.
Yes.
But the idea of healing also represents kind of letting down the guard.
Uh-huh.
And so that's one reason why it can be really scary to try to heal or to step out of trauma, because the thought is, if I do, then it'll happen or it'll happen even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, I think it's important that if you're really serious about healing from a trauma, to be curious and to kind of recognize that, you know, the past is gone. And
mm-hmm.
even though the perception of threat is there, the likelihood of it happening, again, is very low, unless you're in, you know, a situation right now where you're in a relationship where you're being abused. If that's the case, get the heck out of there right now.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, we repeat it until we heal it. And it can be a very scary thing to face and to deal, because it feels somatically real in the body when we're going through it again, even though it's not happening.
Right, right. By the way, Benny, I'm going to skip this next break. We've got some juicy conversation here that I don't want to interrupt. You know,
wow.
Yeah, she has a lot of power. I just sit back down.
Amazing.
You know, Mastin, you talk about how empowering it is to sort of get through the fear. What are the nuts and bolts of stepping through fear and stepping into courage?
Sure. This is a great question. So, okay, first of all, I can say BS, right? Is that okay? I can say BS on the
absolutely,
radio.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
There's just two letters,
call,
yes.
Yeah, okay, cool. I want to call BS on this idea that fear is the opposite of love.
Uh-huh.
I think that is a total crock of you-know-what.
Do you?
And here's why. Fear is a survival mechanism in the brain, in the hippocampus, in the amygdala, the limbic system. Fear happens when there's uncertainty, and its purpose is to keep us alive.
Right.
So when we experience fear, if you're, you know, a veteran in combat, or if you're, you know, someone who's been sexually traumatized, like, that fear is very real. So I also don't think that fear is false evidence appearing real. I have a real issue with that
uh-huh.
acronym.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't think it's very wise or compassionate to tell someone who's been traumatized that, oh, you know, it's just fear's the opposite of love, and it's not real, because it's very real. It's measurable in the form of cortisol
uh-huh.
and adrenaline and many other biomarkers in the body.
Right.
However, I think what's more accurate is to distinguish the different types of fear. So there's what I call good fear or necessary fear,
mm-hmm.
which is when you have the tiger running at you,
right,
or you're,
right.
there's a burning building. Like, you need to be afraid in that moment. Like, it's not unloving to be afraid of a burning building,
uh-huh.
you know?
Right.
So fear is necessary to stay alive. However, most people have what I call bad fear, or what I would call a survival pattern, meaning a survival pattern, my definition of a survival pattern is an irrational fear based on past trauma that prevents you from moving forward. So an example of that might be, you know, if you're cheated on in a relationship,
uh-huh.
It's very easy to say, well, you know, not my ex-husband or ex-boyfriend is a cheater, but all men are cheaters. And
right.
there's generalization of all. The brain does that to survive, but it's not accurate, or is it real?
Mm-hmm.
So the key is to understand that most of the reason why you're stuck is because you think if you leave the relationship, you won't get love and then you'll die. Or
mm-hmm.
if you show your gifts to the world, you'll be seen and you'll evaporate and then you'll die. So it always sort of ends in this thought of, and then I'll die.
Uh-huh.
But it's not true. It's a false story that you're telling yourself. So that's why one of my fear maxims is this. Unless you're in mortal danger, fear is a compass showing you where to go.
I love that.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, it's important, you know, because here's what's true. When you have an intuition or a calling to something larger,
mm-hmm.
a bigger version of your life, that right. vision will scare you.
Yeah.
And
oh,
if you
yes.
think fear is the opposite of love, then you'll think I'm doing something wrong if I'm afraid.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually the opposite. If you're not afraid, I'd be worried.
Yes. I really like your perspective on fear, that it's actually a compass showing us the direction we're supposed to go. I love
Unless
that.
You're in mortal danger. So I don't want someone saying,
right.
well, Christine and Mastin said, face your fear, and I went to the burning building. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to
yes,
have common
yes.
sense.
Right. Yeah. And I think that most people get that. And I forget. I've seen some percentages about how the percentage of thoughts that are like fear-based. It's like, aren't most of our thoughts fear-based, generally speaking, when we're fairly unconscious?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not training yourself, then, you know, your limbic system is going to run you, because that's how we've been designed to survive as a, you know, as a creature of this planet. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole spiritual, personal growth, therapy, whatever, you know, let purpose path,
right,
is about becoming more mindful of your mechanisms, whether it's your thought patterns or your emotions.
Uh-huh.
I will say, though, that I think it's very difficult to change your thoughts without changing your emotions first. And I think that's where a lot of people get stuck, is they think they can just do an affirmation and things,
yes,
go well.
Right.
We have to really dig into our emotional body, and that, uh-huh, can be a very scary thing, because it can feel like people, when they come on our retreats and stuff, you know, I drop them into their emotional body and they, uh-huh, feel like they're going to die. But let me tell you something, not one person has ever died from having a somatic experience like that.
Uh-huh.
But you can die from repressing your somatic experiences. 100%, if you look at the work of Dr. Candace Pert, the researcher who, uh-huh, created the peptide T, and she was a researcher of the cells and the receptors, and she discovered the opiate cells. So she was very, very, very much in clinical world until she got more woo-woo. You know, her whole work and the molecules of emotion is based around the idea that when we suppress our emotion, like, we literally stop the systems of the body from flowing.
Uh-huh.
So we have to go there. And so I think it's important, as we're talking about, you know, the idea of changing life in courage, is that really it's about feeling the negative feelings,
uh-huh,
in a safe way. Don't take a gun to the shopping mall, because that's,
right,
not a great way to express anger. Like, do,
yeah,
something healthy where you're helping people and not hurting them.
Right.
But go to that negative place, recognize that you won't die, mm-hmm, and then start to take action towards what you're afraid of. Because let me tell you something, if you're in a toxic relationship,
mm-hmm,
that's sucking your soul, and you're having anxiety, no amount of Xanax or Wellbutrin will make you feel better. I promise you. I promise you this, right?
Right.
Like, don't think that the Xanax and the Wellbutrin has enough power to make you leave the relationship,
mm-hmm,
or to all of a sudden turn an abusive, toxic relationship into, like, a great one. So,
uh-huh,
we have to participate in our wellness, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I think that it also means stepping into our power, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think that's why we're born. And stepping into your power means discovering your ability to choose and to get your needs met,
mm-hmm,
and to discover what your needs are, and then to turn those into the forms of service. And it's very easy to hide in relationships, mm-hmm, or with addiction or procrastination or perfectionism or putting other people first or not trusting yourself. Like, very easy to do that, because it's a great survival mechanism, but for fulfillment, really bad strategy.
Sam Astin, if we're going the fulfillment route as opposed to the fear-based, you know, stuck, maybe codependent route, where we're suppressing our gifts, how do we feel worthy of that? Because I think a lot of people have worthiness issues.
Yeah, I think everyone has self-esteem issues, that's for sure. A couple things. So where does confidence come from? It's a great question. So some people think confidence is just like puffing up your chest and having this bravado,
mm-hmm,
and just kind of like walking around like you are, like, you know, God's gift to the world and nobody else is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think the best definition of confidence I've ever heard comes from Oprah, actually, from the belief series that she did. And it opens with this statement from her where she says that my confidence comes from knowing that I'm connected to a power greater than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you know that you don't have to do it alone, that there's a power greater than you, call it God, source, spirit, the divine, who's working with you, then I think, you know, you don't have to feel worthy, because I think people who feel unworthy, they're disconnected. When you're connected, it's not about whether you're worthy or not,
yes,
because there's you have a senior partner, you have a larger partner there. So I think unworthiness is a signal of feeling disconnected from your source.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm feeling unworthy, my goal is to work on feeling connected to God in whatever way that would be for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm connected, and I know that all things are possible because of my higher power and through my higher power, then it's a different story. If I think I'm on my own, if I think I have to do it myself,
uh-huh,
if I'm self-directed and I'm disconnected, I will feel insignificant and not enough, and that will be accurate, because it's kind of like a raindrop trying to pretend to be the ocean.
Yeah.
So I think it's about connecting back to your source. That's the most important thing.
So what would you say to, say, a 20-something who doesn't necessarily buy into source, the way that we talk about in the consciousness movement? How would you guide somebody like that to sort of connect?
I actually think they do. And I think they think of it in a different way. I think that, you know, the sky gods, if you will, the Abrahamic traditions, mm-hmm. are colliding, meaning that,
yes.
you know, arguing over the name of Muhammad or Jesus,
right.
or Yahweh is,
right.
becoming more and more ridiculous.
It is. And
so I think that for them, it's about purpose. I think young people are really mission-driven today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to find it on Tinder or Snapchat,
mm-hmm.
Or Musical.ly, that's for sure. But finding something that's purpose-driven, finding something that lights you up, like figuring out what lights you up, and especially for young people today, like not relying on your parents to be your source of money and purpose, like go find
right.
out who you are, like discover, Aldous Huxley, discover the work of Timothy Leary, discover the work of Louise Hay and mm-hmm. Wayne Dyer, and
mm-hmm.
like really learn about this power, which I think they feel on a deeper level. It's probably more spiritual, not religious. It's probably more energy than
uh-huh.
it is, you know, anything else. And it's really more about happiness and fulfillment.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, for all the talk around, you know, the sort of millennial generation and sort of how much they're not doing, there's a lot of innovation happening out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what I would say is that, and this goes for the millennials as well as people my age, and this is a universal lesson. I think the two most important lessons in life are courage. So you have to go after what you want, especially if you're afraid of it and
mm-hmm.
if you're resisting it. But then the second thing, which is equally as important, is this idea of patience. And with everything
Ooh,
being
yeah.
instantly accessible on an app or downloadable or
mm-hmm.
deliverable immediately,
mm-hmm.
like I got something from Amazon the same day the other day.
Oh, my goodness. I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
You know, so like this idea of patience, like a seed that's planted still takes time to bear
uh-huh.
fruit. So
right.
it's really an opportunity to go deeper within yourself and connect to something larger than you. And it's a connection that you cannot find online
uh-huh.
And be expressed online. And when you find that, like you have that level of happiness and freedom and fulfillment that you're yearning for, it doesn't necessarily have to be a religious or woo-woo connection.
Uh-huh.
But I do think that young people are looking for purpose. They're looking for happiness. So there's a lot of mission-driven young people out there.
Uh-huh.
And that really is synonymous with what we're discussing. So, you know, it's sort of the oversimplification is like, go find what lights you up and then be unwavering about bringing that into your life and have courage and patience. And, you
right.
know, Wayne Dyer says it best, you know, infinite patience brings immediate results. And so
I think
with those two things, you know, you can really find what lights you up. And trust me, you will find your spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes I talk about the quantum field and sort of in scientific terms, but I do feel like, you know, some of the 20-somethings are in a bit of a crisis right now because it's like the old model isn't fitting. And that's probably a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, look.
Not that they're in crisis,
but
that the old model doesn't fit.
I think that, you know, a lot of the mythologies around religion were formed when we were separated by distances and didn't know about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And certain languages were developed. You know, nobody argues over the name of the sun in different languages.
Right.
I think there's one creator
yeah.
and has many different names.
Yep.
And it's not about the name. It's about the essence to which it points. And I think
right.
Jesus is bigger than Christianity. I think
yeah.
Muhammad is bigger than Islam. I think Moses is bigger than Judaism, you know, and on it goes. I think Nanak mm-hmm. is bigger than Sikhism. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, Arjuna is bigger than Hinduism. So I just think that this idea of how I'm being, how my values, how I'm showing up, am I in integrity around that? It's far more important than the name of something, because names, you know, there are six different words for love
yeah.
in Greek,
yeah.
and you know, no one speaks Aramaic. So, do we really even know what people really meant when these sacred texts were born?
Right.
And not only that, but if you look at the Bible, the Council of Nicaea, you know, was voted what goes in and out of this thing called the Bible.
It was human control.
And so that's kind of like.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine Congress voting on what goes in the Bible today. Like, are you kidding me? So,
right.
you know, they can't even get a budget passed, you know?
Yeah. You know, Mastin, this hour has just flown by. Again, if you're interested in learning more and connecting with Mastin, it's mastinkipp.com, mastinkipp.com. And, you know, I encourage people to, you know, sign up for your YouTube channel and to connect with you, because you're full of wisdom. And I'm so grateful that you shared your wisdom here today with us, Mastin.
Christine, thank you so much for having me. That was the fastest hour ever. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Okay.
That was very enjoyable.
And thank you all for listening. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.